Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everybody for a wacky Monday. What's Monday?
Manic Monday or Monday? Mellow Money?
Monday. It's Monday.
I wish it were Money Monday. Anyway, that's a whole different story. Hey, welcome to the show.
Chuck Bonney, well, Julie Hayden, Truth Drive. I got a big announcement coming up. So
The sponsors are happytrees.co, great full service tree company, and Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Yeah, just so you guys can share my world, Chuck comes down and he's like, oh, we've been here talking about the show, you know, all afternoon, what we're going
to
do and we're going to talk about it. He comes down and says, oh, I've got a big announcement. I'm like, what? He goes, I'm not going to tell you. So,
okay.
So if I fall off a chair.
This is so exciting. You may not know this, but this very day, right now, they've got a brand new Clinton Global Initiative.
Oh, yes. This is very happy news for the Clinton.
And Bono is going to, is it Bono or Bono?
Bono
is going to be there. Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to be there. Gavin Newsom's going to be there.
Everyone.
I went to the Clinton Initiative America in Denver.
Right.
And that was very exciting.
Well, and explain to folks, the reason why is cleverly the Biden administration appointed John Podesta, who was like Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, as head of something. He's in charge of the department assigned to give out corrupt grants to Democrat favorite companies.
Oh, yeah. Well,
That's about the name of it.
I'm sure the Clintons will be right first
in line.
And the
Clinton Foundation was making no money for the past several years.
One was 2016.
Yep. And all of a sudden now they're back in the money.
It's
like
so
literally.
Excited. And everybody can come. You can make your commitment to the Clintons.
And the best news is you don't have to actually do anything to end any kind of global problem.
Just take the money.
Yeah.
Just take the money.
Write a song or something like that. Didn't Bono write a song for Nancy Pelosi on her birthday or something like that?
I don't know. It could be.
So you're right. That's very good news. The Clintons are very happy. Just when you think
they were
down and out, they are not. They've somehow got John Podesta. Why anyone would put John? Hopefully they're having a little more control over his email passwords, right?
No.
It's probably the same one, whatever it was.
Password.
It's like
password is a password.
Money. All right. Well, that's very exciting news. And the level of corruption. And the next, it's going to be Hunter Biden's art for global warming.
Yeah,
for global warming projects.
Well, on that thing, he's had to go to court to say that he shouldn't pay so much money.
Jacob's like, that's how they paid James Taylor at the White House last week. You know, why were they paying James Taylor at the White House? Does he just show up at weird things?
Paris and other places playing fire and rain.
Playing fire. You got a friend.
Oh, fire and rain was the White House one.
Oh, was it? Okay. Uh-huh. Is that like sort of like the game of... the Game of Thrones, fire and ice. So that's very good news. You're right. That is indeed a happy news.
But on the other side, Hunter Biden applied to the Arkansas Family Court to reduce his child payments, saying it's just too tough to make those payments. The art isn't going as well as he'd like. And the Malibu mansion costs $35,000 a month. So they ought to cut it down a little bit.
Just the complete... evilness, corrupt. I mean, they're the family thing. It's like, so first you got Joe Biden taking inappropriate showers with his daughter, which she writes in her diary later, caused all kinds of problems for her. You got Hunter Biden in email saying he's not allowed to be around certain juvenile relatives because of sex issues. You got all of this stuff going on.
America's first family.
They won't even put that the other kid that child that was born out of wedlock. They won't put that child's picture at the White House. I have to take all the kids' pictures down. And it's like, he can't even pay his freaking child support. It's kind of like, okay, I get maybe if you don't want to invite him to the Christmas dinners at the White House or something like that. But when they're all jetting off, it's kind of like, the level of corruption and arrogance and evilness that he would, I mean, this is a child and it's his child, right? And I mean, just imagine.
Well, Jacob pointed out, at least Hunter can stay at Martha's Vineyard, know, they won't, won't bus them out within 24 hours.
That's right. Oh, because they're such kind and compassionate people. We've got other great comments here. Let's say, even exactly from Donna Walter, even mafia families don't do this. It's like, you're right. Even in the mafia, if you have an illegitimate kid, you at least have to take care of them. Right. Again, maybe they don't come to Sunday dinner, but to try to weasel your way out of all of that.
Leo wants Hunter and his, baby mama deported to the Ukraine. I'd enjoy that.
They can do some artwork over there. Yeah, so
be part of the offense.
Well, one, actually, it's been kind of an interesting weekend. And we'll talk about a kind of a very big development, I think, in the big tech censorship cases, which I think is going to send it up to the Supreme Court. You can talk about that. You'll be glad to know that USA Today's columnist is saying, if you care about this country
and democracy,
don't vote for anyone anywhere, not even dog catcher, don't vote for them in the GOP.
We have no, until the Republican Party becomes enlightened again with democratic ideas, they should hold no offices. No,
exactly.
You voted for Trump's impeachment. Nope, doesn't matter. No
right.
Voting for Republicans.
Although I will say, I kind of feel the way about Democrats.
Well,
I guess on the other hand. But wanted to start off talking about, again, the Mar-a-Lago thing. So to bring you up to speed on that, because it's one of those things, it seems like sometimes it's happening in slow motion, and it kind of is. But on the other hand, there are developments. So the special master, who is Judge Raymond Deary, was appointed, and the DOJ complained about that, and the judge swatted him down and said no, you know. And so they appeal at that. And the
partial appeal,
the appellate, they don't want anyone to look at any of those documents. It's the bottom line. They're like, no one could look at that but us, not the special master, not defense.
Most people didn't get on some of the stories I saw, that they didn't quite realize. They said, okay, they're appealing the fact they want to be able to use the documents in their criminal investigation. But the part two of it, which hasn't been emphasized as much, is that they don't want the special master looking at these stuff.
They don't want anyone to know what's in there.
He was sure he was in the FISA court, has seen hundreds of thousands of classified documents, but he can't see them either.
Right.
No one can see the classified. How you bring a criminal case against them and nobody gets to see the documents?
I don't know.
Maybe
they said to trust him, Chuck.
I know that they'd get a DC judge and say no. Jury, assume the classified. You don't have to see him or look at him.
In fact, let's just cut to the chase and assume he's guilty.
Yeah,
and just go right to there.
Yeah, let's save us all a lot of time. How do I? No.
But anyway, so they have, of course, here appealed that, and the appellate court gave Trump's attorneys till noon, like on Tuesday, to go ahead and file their reply to that. Meanwhile, though, the special master judge is like, I'm not waiting for you people. We have a meeting at 2 o'clock on Tuesday.
No, he had his first at 2 o'clock. And I'm sure that the Justice Department said, well, make it noon, so we maybe don't have to go to the other one. But so the Trump attorneys, now you have to remember, this was filed Friday afternoon. There are nobody working at federal appellate courts on the weekend.
Right, yeah.
If you wanted to work on weekends, you'd be in private practice and make a lot more money. So federal appellate courts do not work on weekends. So this is an amazing ability. There's a George W. Bush prior who is the chief judge. It probably would have gone to him. Oh, right away.
Oh, are they judge shopping with this?
Well, they're not judge shopping, but he would be the chief judge. And you'd need the chief judge for all of a sudden to order somebody to file.
Oh, to file it when no one's going to be around.
File a response motion within basically one working day. That's incredible. I mean, now, when I clerked on the 10th Circuit, the only time that anybody ever did anything close to a week is when they're going to execute Gary Gilmore.
It's like a death penalty cases.
And he wanted to be executed. But the ACLU and other groups did not. So they filed on Friday, an emergency defendant being executed, I think, at noon. And Judge Doyle, I think, granted it. And so all the other judges, they didn't even bother to call the clerk. Somebody said, no, we'll meet to consider this
to laugh, but yeah.
at 5:30.
But you're right, for them to do all that. Well, and here's the thing, because I wanted to get into this a little bit, because I was initially thinking, so this Judge Raymond Deary, who's going to be the special master, and it's going to be his job to look at all of the stuff that the FBI seized and decide, is this personal and confidential? Is it classified? Is it not classified? Is it presidential privilege? To kind of figure out what they took and what they can or can't use, and what has to go back to Trump. He was a FISA court judge, Raymond Deary. He actually signed one of the FISA warrants in the Carter Page case, right? So initially I was thinking, oh my God, he's the most corrupt person in his, I mean, you know, he signed that warrant. I was worried about that. But then I thought, well, the Trump people recommended him. So I'm like, they can't be, hopefully, please God, that stupid. Mm-hmm. And so John Ratcliffe
was appointed Ray.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, you know, it's not like his choices is, you know, Jeff Sessions, for God's sakes. But John Ratcliffe, who is his former director of national intelligence, had an interesting take on this, which gave me hope. So if we could please play the John Ratcliffe number one soundbite from this weekend Sunday show with Maria Bartiromo.
He's a good choice to be the special master in this case. As you pointed out, he signed one of the FISA applications that Director Wray of the FBI later had to admit was illegal. The reason he signed it, though, was because the FBI fabricated evidence. FBI lawyer Kevin Kleinsmith submitted false evidence for which he pled guilty to a felony for doing that. It also included false evidence of this Steele dossier. That the FBI knew was false because the subsource for that, Igor Danchenko, had told them that it was all made up. And so I think Judge Deary is a good choice because, you know, this was a black eye for the FISA court. He was taken advantage of by the FBI. So I think he's not going to take the DOJ and the FBI assertions at face value and will look at these documents.
Now, here's my question, and you guys weigh in here. If you could call in today, no guests today, so call in 888-627-6008, comment in the chat room, or you can unmute yourself and comment on Zoom if you're there too. So I've got to wonder if, I mean, out of all the people in the world that they could have nominated, they nominate this guy. And what Ratcliffe says makes sense. On the other hand, it could also be that he is just a corrupt judge. Do you think that maybe they have some sort of indication that that's not the case, that it's some, no?
They never seem to check people out. The Justice Department has more resources to check out, in particular, you know, people clerk for him and everything else. And they approved it. They said, yeah, he'd be fine, but let's have him do nothing. You have to say, we're only doing this partial appeal. He can look at the news clippings. He can look at Melania's underwear. He can look at everything except what's important.
Right.
And what's important, he can't look at all because, he's not qualified. I mean, you can't trust him when you can trust us. I mean,
that's right. Hey, and we've got a bunch of comments here. Leo, yours is funny on censorship. We'll get to that in a second. Well, then John Ratcliffe had, because, you know, we've heard a lot about what they seized. And I'm beginning to fall more and more in the camp that, number one, I think it was just a massive, that's humiliate Trump and harass Trump and intimidate Trump or try to. Number two, I think it's in part, that's inflame his base and try to get them to riot so we can call them all a bunch of insurrectionists and arrest them and put them in jail for being politically violent. I think number three, it's a fishing expedition, you know, they just see what they can get. But I'm beginning to lean more and more in the, first off, I don't even remotely think it's because they're worried about national security. No. I think they're worried about their own behinds. And that's what I think it is. I think.
But just say you cannot look at these documents at all.
Right.
And we can look at them and continue the indictment that we want to get going. I mean, it's kind
of
like,
theoretically, the documents would have to come out if there was an indictment, right? So their whole argument is silly on that.
Well, no, I mean, they're saying we can look at them and we can indict people on them, but no one else can look at them. We, the Department of Justice and the National Security Division, which is like the Gestapo or some incredible super secret one.
Star that Chamber kind of place.
Yeah, yeah. So they're saying, yeah, he can keep on doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah. He can be special master. Well,
special master of news clippings.
And again, we've seen this before. So we've seen them come up with a lie, that there was a hack and a Russia hack, right? And Trump was behind it. In this case, the lie that Trump has dangerous classified documents in his house. Nuclear articles from magazines in his house. Okay, so that's the lie. And now they've got to back around and they're using all of this to cover up both of them, right?
Right.
They're using this to cover up, I believe, anymore, the Russia hoax. Yes. I think Trump has documents and information about that. They don't want that to get out. They want to see exactly what does Trump have.
They know by now.
Well, and so that's what they want to cover up. And now they have to continue to try to block this. I mean, it's the same thing. It's an ongoing investigation, which is why Trump could never declassify. It's the same, the same playbook. And it's kind of fun because John Ratcliffe, because they say, well, for anyone to look at it would reveal sources and methods. Like a FISA judge has never seen anything about sources and methods, right? I mean, that's what he does, is issue secret warrants about sources and based on sources and methods. But I think, though, ironically, they're telling the truth here. They don't want their actual sources and methods to be revolved because it's all crooked and corrupt. And so here is, if we could play John Ratcliffe number two, he kind of talks about that as well.
Part of what he's going to be looking at isn't just the issue of privilege, it's going to be the issue of classification. So the reports are that the FBI took 11,000 documents from Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. They claim that their reports are that there are 100 documents that have classified markings. I don't know if those documents include Russiagate or Steele reporting documents, but if they do, there's a question whether or not they're marked top secret, whether they are top secret.
Yeah.
The reason I say that, if that makes let me explain a little bit, Maria, is I saw hundreds, if not thousands, of documents when I was director of national intelligence that related to Christopher Steele and the Steele reporting or the Crown reporting, things like the Alpha Bank connections that were in the Steele dossier or Michael Cohen's trip to Prague. All of these things were make-believe, but yet they were marked top secret. They were no more top secret or involved real sources and methods than – you know, your children's creative writing assignments for.
So, more and more, I'm beginning to think that's right. They just don't want anyone else to see that. And so they can continue dribbling out their lies and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, the last time they had this big one was the Nunes Amendment. I had to kind of go back and remind myself.
But who laid all of this out way back when?
Yeah. 2016. 2017. What's amazing is that you had Ray and Rosenstein, who was the deputy attorney general, but in all fact running the
Sessions with MIA.
Yeah. And they went around saying, you know, this will reveal sources and methods. This could get, some of these sources we're told are in Putin's inner circle.
Yeah.
No, they did. And the revealing it, well, you know, our spies in Putin's.
Right.
And then it turns out it's all a lie.
Right.
It's just all a lie.
And I think that's what they don't want. Now, you talk to me about how you think this will play out, because I imagine anybody, they're going to keep appealing it up and up and up, don't you think? Or
Well sure. But you know, what will happen is that somebody on the 11th Circuit definitely wants to help the Department. I mean, I've never seen anybody say, hey, oh, you filed it Friday afternoon, opposing person, you do your memo on Monday. I mean, really, no one ever does that.
No, I know.
You do it Monday. And why is the necessity that it be heard?
Because they're meeting
on Tuesday. I mean, it's just, they've got somebody in the 11th Circuit is all hot to trot to make sure that our national security is protected. I expect that the 11th Circuit will stay
the special master,
although he's allowed to look at the news clippings.
Yeah. And the napkins and the baseball caps.
And the baseball caps.
Whatever they took out of Barron's room.
Yeah, whatever they took it out of Barron's room. And Trump gets to pay for all that, by the way. Uh-huh. You know, the special master can have a big payday and everything else.
Well, so then what happens? Because I bet you're right. I bet the 11th Circuit will stay the special master, put the special master on hold until the Justice Department can, I don't know what, get rid of all of the incriminating evidence. But then what will Trump's attorneys do?
They'll appeal that up to Clarence Thomas, who is the Supreme Court justice in charge of the 11th Circuit. That's his jurisdiction. They'll appeal it up to him, and then he can try to see if he can get, you know, five people or four people to hear it at the Supreme Court level. They won't get Roberts. Roberts an anti-Trumper. But my guess is maybe they'll be able to hide everything. I think there's a lot to hide. I think, you know, that Igor Devchenko was in fact an FBI confidential informant for a large part of this time.
They were paying him to make up lies about the president, which then they used to get all of these warrants.
And now they died him.
Well, yeah. On the other hand, though, I mean, Trump knows what those dogs are barking. Trump knows what's in those documents. He and his lawyers. I mean, I'm wondering if they're just kind of playing this game before they release it, because I mean, they don't want him. You know, it's like Ratcliffe said, if they had initially. The Steele document was top secret, yes. Which they knew was a lie all along. There was no reason for it's a top secret lie, right? But I think what they'll do though is they'll keep saying to Trump, "Well, it's still top secret."
And if you reveal it, then you go to jail. They'll indict him for revealing classified information.
He's gotten smarter. I hope so.
I don't know. You know, those lawfare people who serve Treehouse say are writing the briefs for the
Justice Department.
For the Justice Department on a pro bono basis.
Oh, this is from Jacob. I thought Durham wrapped up his investigation, or did he? No. No, he's got the Danchenko trial is coming up.
Yeah.
But in a way, Jacob, you're absolutely right in that Durham isn't going to do anything, right? I mean, he's going to go after like Kleinsmith. He's going to the FBI agent who changed the wording on the warrant. He's going to go after Danchenko, who was the FBI informant. He's not going to go after any of the FBI people or anything like that.
No, he's not going to go after any of the CIA people or anybody in the Obama administration or Nancy Rice or any of them. I mean, it's just.
And here, let me read then, because we'll switch gears to another court topic. Oh,
there's another one that Jacob said that the pandemic is over.
It's
announced by Biden, which, you know, he's claimed all these superpowers because of
the
pandemic, including the student loan.
Right.
The student loan that he can absolve. I mean, where does he get that? Oh, yeah, it's a pandemic, and therefore I get to.
Well, it's over now. It wasn't over when he signed that. It's still not over. Yeah. I know. Well, and the left is freaking out. About the pandemic being over. They don't want it to be over, which leads us then into the other thing, another big court story, though, which is a win for us. Because, Leo, you're saying you've been waiting for my YouTube video. What does it say? I've been waiting for your YouTube video on big tech censorship. Yeah, exactly. Except we've been censored from YouTube forever. YouTube is like, don't even think of trying to use another name. Don't even think of trying to do anything on our channel. We aren't even going to use it. I mean, you know, for saying, what did we say? We quoted Jared Polis when we were talking about, you know,
childhood vaccinations.
Well, childhood masks and vaccinations, right? So everything that we said has now been proven to be true, is now acknowledged to be true.
Well, even at the time, it was Polis's. It wasn't controversial.
But YouTube is like, oh, well, we can't have you crazy, you know, you political violently dissidents talking about this. But there is some help coming out. So this is an interesting development today. There were court cases in Texas and in Florida. And on whether big tech, it's particularly over, I think it's at over 50 million users. Uh-huh. So we're talking Google, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yes.
Whether big tech has a First Amendment right to censor opinions it doesn't like or comments
edit.
And the 11th Circuit, which is a liberal one,
it's the same as the one being appealed now for the special master. They've got seven judges. Eleven judges, six of them are Trump appointed.
Okay.
The other one's a Bush appointee and the rest are Obama and all that. So it's a 7-4 majority, although, you know, being a Bush appointee doesn't mean you're
right.
So it is a majority. In fact, the opinion was written by Trump, one Newsom, as well as a Gerald Ford, and that guy's old. I forget the third one. I think it's
Obama. But the bottom line is we had a case in Florida and a case in Texas, two different courts about whether big tech, whether Twitter could censor or whether YouTube could censor us for saying that we didn't think kids should wear masks, right? And the Florida court, which is commenting on a Texas case, said, yeah, you can't do that. You don't have a First Amendment right to censor other people's First Amendment rights.
No, when the Texas court said.
The Texas court said
they did have a right.
You're right.
They did have a right, which the Court of Appeals of the First Circuit just mocked.
Yeah, the Texas court. This is their claim that we, Twitter, as a corporation, have a First Amendment right.
To edit.
And the court said, the Texas court said, you, Twitter, have a First Amendment right to say what you think, and you can comment on what other people think, but you don't have, how can you have a First Amendment right to censor someone? I mean, that's in its own way,
The opinion by the 11th Circuit, it's really long. I couldn't get through all of it, but endless pages of tree killing logic, which eventually got
twist it around to say, we need to, because Biden's policies are horrible. Gas prices are up. Food prices are up. Everything is bad. Housing prices are up. Kids are years behind in education. All of our young millennials are depressed. And that's not even legal for them to microdose yet. I mean, there's all kinds of problems in the world. And so they have to do something. And that is, they have to stop people from talking about any of that. And they want to censor that. That's their, I think, a huge part of their midterm strategy is to squash that. And then if you keep saying it, then they're going to have the 87,000 IRS agents come knock on your door, and they're going to call you a politically violent dissident, and they're going to throw you in jail. So it's just interesting. And am I right that when you have two appellate courts come up with two absolutely opposite opinions, that increases the likelihood of it going to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, well, the Supreme Court just takes X number of cases every year up on cert. Not very many of them, a few dozen. And a split in the circuits is one of the, higher priorities. Here, probably both sides want the Supreme Court to hear it. The Meta, which is really Zuckerberg and Facebook,
right,
through something called Net Choice, No Choice, Net Choice. are they just going to not be in Texas, not be in all the states that are covered by the Fifth Circuit, Louisiana, Alabama? That's probably not likely. So they'll be saying it should go to the Supreme Court, and probably everyone else wants it to be determined also. So I would think you would have a high chance, but you never know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they'll ask for a partial stay.
And I think that,
just the Fifth Circuit.
Just until the 2024 election is over or something that. We can only partially, but I think it's interesting because here again, as always, I think they overreach, and then the Republicans for the past few years, I think have been doing a good job at using the Democrats' legal tactics to fight back. They're talking about, these Republicans are freaking out. That's why they want to get rid of the electoral count, right? They don't want to have Congress have to verify that anymore and to avoid January 6th stuff. They want, in other words, they want to federalize the elections.
So they can rig that.
So they can make it easier to rig and make it harder to discover the rigging. That's just their whole plan. And so until they can get that in place, meanwhile, they need to censor everybody. Is their plan. So it'll be interesting to see. The bad news on that, though, is that a year, 2 years away could they decide to hear it next summer or whenever they go, October?
As you saw with the 11th,
they 11th can do whatever circuit, they want, yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden, they file it on a late Friday and they wanted a responsive brief on Monday.
Yeah.
Tuesday. Oh, they got till noon. You got a day.
Right.
So just hammer that out. Right. And
that's why they're pushing this. Oh, it's dangerous, dangerous. And I think anymore, people don't buy that. Now you've got some judges and people are willing to use it politically, but I think in general, people aren't willing to anymore just flat out say, the fact that I say, a three-year-old shouldn't have to wear a mask in daycare makes me, as you two declared us, a danger to the community. Right. I think most people are like, no, because actually we know that masks don't work. Do you know what I mean?
I think half the country, the right does, the left. I mean, just read their opinions.
Well, then let's go back to, so this is from Jacob. Is the warrant from Kleinsmith to go to the judge who was appointed for the document, is the warrant from Kleinsmith to the same judge who was appointed the special master? I believe, there were different judges, I think, that signed different FISA warrants.
Right.
And at different times. So he did not, this is a good question, Jacob. I'm not sure which warrant. I know they all centered around, because they just kept using the same warrant to renew the warrant,
I think the FISA warrant did include Kleinsmith's change of when Page is a FBI agent or an FBI source or CIA source. And then he changed it. It's not a CIA.
Right. So I think that it is the same judge.
He pled guilty to a felony. However, he was sentenced to no prison time.
Yeah.
And the DC bar quickly gave him back his license. So he really had to suffer.
Yeah. And again, he's going to show up on MSNBC or something like that. So that's my thing, where there's a part of me, because we have seen Donald Trump and his attorneys make choices involving hiring decisions that you're like, what? In hindsight, right? It's like, what were you thinking? So you got to wonder, why would they recommend the judge who signed the FISA court warrant? Because you know, certainly the judge, they didn't offer any pushback on any of this, and they were perfectly happy to let people continue to spy on the president of the United States, which is kind of concerning in and of itself. On the other hand, Ratcliffe, I'm hoping, maybe I shouldn't say assume, that he's not just out, you know, off the top of his head saying, no, I think he felt duped by the FBI there.
He's saying off the top of his head. He doesn't know.
He doesn't know. See,
he's not claiming to know.
But why would they recommend him? Why wouldn't they just recommend somebody else if they didn't have some inclination that he was annoyed, at least at the way the FBI handled
that? Well, you know, you just don't know. Why did he point Ray? Why did he point all these people that, you know, and the other way? I mean, they certainly hope that he will, but I don't have a feeling they knew.
Well, I hear from Jacob, we got breaking news from Jacob, everybody. I didn't know this. Alan Dershowitz is representing Mike Lindell in his lawsuit against the FBI. How does a big tech company have the right to censor a doctor's opinion on that, say, so they're having, he's representing Lindell in an emergency hearing. That's the argument, Jacob, is they don't. A big tech company doesn't have the right. They're trying to say we do. We have a First Amendment right to censor anyone that we don't agree with, particularly after the Biden administration has a meeting with us and explains to us which opinions we're not supposed to like.
And Facebook can look at your opinions and give them over to the FBI if they think
exactly. Not only can they censor it, they can take them off of the platform, but go ahead and forward them to the FBI. So
leave them on the platform so they can get a witness.
So that's the argument. The big tech companies would argue that they do. But again, it seems bizarre that you would argue that you have a First Amendment right to censor something that you don't like.
It wasn't bizarre to the 11th Circuit.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, they're trying anything again because I think they're all freaking out about the midterm. So we'll see on that. I think in the Lindell hearing, I don't know what you guys weigh in on this. I got to, like, Harvey Steinberg is a great lawyer representing Tina Peters. Mm-hmm. Again, I go back to the Colorado Sun hysterical article saying that Harvey Steinberg's defense maneuvers were hindering the prosecution case. It's like, good. That's his job, right? I'm not so sure. I worry. Nothing against Alan Dershowitz, but that Alan Dershowitz might end up being kind of another Rudy Giuliani. Would you hire him?
Yeah.
You would? Okay.
He's a good enough appellate lawyer.
Okay. They're practicing medicine without a license if they censor that. I think you're right. I mean, well, you know, they're the big tech company. So now you're going to be censored for saying that, Jacob, because they don't like them. So we'll see. I mean, that is, I think, a huge hearing. I mean, that's a huge thing is do the tech companies have the right to censor speech they don't want? Because the government clearly does not. And the government has been getting around that by asking the big tech companies to do it for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now they're saying, which you'd think you could work into the argument somewhere, but now the big tech companies are simply saying we have an absolute right to censor speech that we don't agree with.
They call it edit.
Oh, to edit. Okay. Well, now explain that. Why would they not, though? I mean, why would they? Because there's a part of me that's like, well, if it's their company, it's their platform. So why can't they say, I don't like that opinion. I'm not going to let it be shared. Is it because they're so big?
Well, no. I mean, the idea, there is no First Amendment to do that. And then if they were, then they're publishers, then they could be sued.
So I see. That's their way to get around the publisher argument.
Right.
Okay.
They say, okay, we're not publishers, but we're something else.
So to explain that, if you are a publisher, for instance, Chuck is the publisher of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle.
Right.
As such, he could be sued, say, for libel or whatever, if something goes out in the newspaper, because he, as a publisher, has a responsibility. The big tech companies are saying, no, we're just this platform. We don't do any, you know, we're not publishers. We're not pretend, although they fact check it, so their whole argument falls apart. But if they declare themselves publishers, which would therefore give them then the right to edit it, right?
Yeah,
and then they can
be sued.
But then they can be sued for libel. So they don't, which happens all the time.
So there's something, they're not a publisher, but they're not, they have a corporate right to be able to edit.
Yes.
And so it's an amazing argument. Well, but good enough for the 11th Circuit. They unanimously approved it for the right. three judges.
Well, but the Texas law, they made fun of it, saying you can't have a First Amendment right to censor people whose opinion you don't like. You know, you can post your own. I mean, the First Amendment simply says you can have your own opinion and you can't be prevented from expressing your own opinion, nor can you be prevented from commenting on other people's opinions. But you can't just flat out say my First Amendment right says I'm going to just turn off Chuck's portion of the microphone. Because I don't like what he says.
Well, it all depends on what judges
say. So that's
going
to be interesting. I wanted to move on then. Do you want to go to the USA Today article?
Yeah.
Because it's talking about the censorship. So at USA Today, what's her name? Jill Lawrence has an article basically saying, if you care about the country, don't vote for a Republican, any Republican. Even if it's your dad running, don't vote for them, right? But here's the
thing. Even though there are some nice Republicans.
Don't vote for them anyway, she says.
Who help Democrats get past the trillion-dollar things. Even they must go.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Any Republican has to go. But what they said is that the GOP is going down a dark path. Yes. So, again, remember, this is going to be their thing. We're going down a dark path, especially the MAGA Republicans.
Yes.
But they're getting rid of. They don't even want nice Republicans.
No mainstream public. We must have a one party state. How many times do you think,
talk about a threat to democracy.
That's their view of democracy.
they're the only ones. Well, and that you said this. Which is, again, a total lie. So they're justifying that Trump supporters, we can't have any MAGA people. And they're saying Trump supporters stormed the Capitol in their, quote, deadly quest to block Congress's finalizing Biden's election. Their deadly quest. There was no deadly quest. The only deadly quest, and it was deadly because the cops shot one of the Trump supporters, right? If there was no deadly quest, most of the people in Congress weren't even there. AOC wasn't cowering under her chair. She wasn't even in the building, right? So, I mean, there was no storming a deadly quest to stop a vote. I mean, it's ridiculous. But that's what they say. And they keep saying that. And I imagine that if you talk to people who read the USA Today, many of them would say, oh, yeah, it was deadly.
Well, Jill Lawrence, and there should be a name for Jill Lawrence's of the world. She is not a Karen. And Karens are much more officious and more self-entitled. The Jill Lawrence's are that mousy, passive-aggressive kind of woman that goes to, Vassar or something. And they think they're so wonderful and they're so caring and everything else. And so she's arguing for a totalitarian state.
It is. It's like we need to get rid of the Republican Party. I mean, because she's not really, when you read the column, she's not just talking about not voting for them. She's talking about eliminating them, right? Just eliminate the Republican Party because they're politically violent dissidents.
No, she's not quite saying that. Wow. She says if 15% of more Republicans would vote for Democrats, then we wouldn't get any people elected Republican anywhere. It would be all set.
so we wouldn't even need to have elections.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So the whole thing could become moot. So.
And the other thing that Jill Lawrence's of the world are all upset about is that Swedish election we talked about.
With Robert Spencer.
Robert Spencer, the right-wing coalition won, with the biggest party being the Sweden Democrats, which they always
We were talking about, we were asking Robert, do you think some of these elections going on in Europe, in Sweden and Italy in particular, are sort of precursors to what might happen in the United States in the midterm? And he said absolutely,
right.
That they're seeing sort of the same divide that we're seeing here.
So the Swedish Democrats, which are not, they're the neo-fascists, they call them, although they're the nicest neo-fascists in the world.
Wait, who calls them that?
They're
not really neo-fascists, right?
The party started by people they call neo-fascists back in 1990. And whether they were neo-fascists, what's neo-fascist mean any more than semi-fascist?
But is it fair to say we would consider them to be sort of
populist? Yes.
Okay. And then you're saying that's the global elitists.
Right.
Okay.
But they took second place among the parties, the leading one for the thing. So
the populace.
And so the world is going crazy. The world.
Well, because second place is actually sort of first place.
Because it's coalition partners and they won everything. But the New York Times is astonishing. Der Bild says earthquake, and they're all saying it's the worst thing happened. I mean, we love Sweden, the bedrock of Nordic liberalism, the New York Times said, and that the swing toward the more populist rise is especially shocking. How could this happen?
How could those populists revolt against those global elites? Well, again, and Robert Spencer was saying, he said he didn't know it was going to happen, but he said if that did happen, either way, he said it could be, you know, sort of this overall worldwide distaste, I think, at what the elites and, you know, the big tech companies and everybody tried to do to us during COVID, what they're trying to do. It's like, you know, rather than in Germany saying, oh, guys, maybe we should, you know, go back to some of the fossil fuels, or at least some of the energy that's been heating us, you know, through the winters for as long as we've had it, rather than just say, no, you have to turn your thermostats down. People are going around going, what? You know, no, it doesn't seem like a good idea. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. And now, the Italian election, which occurs on September 27th, I think, there are
a similar kind of scenario.
Yeah, where the neo-fascists, as they call it, brothers of Italy, and you know they're all upset that they may get into power. In fact, they're anticipated that one's not supposed to be closed.
So I think if you're in the United States, if you're the Democrat Party, which is why we're seeing all of these freakout things, why we're seeing this collusion with big tech, why we're seeing, you know, and I'm going to submit, because now we can go on to just a couple other things too, the pandemic being over. So I didn't see the interview.
I did.
But okay, then. So John, this is why I can't talk today, as I have my brother, who is the most generous brother in the history of the universe.
Front row seats
to a Elton John, I was going to say John Denver. That would be really good. No, to an Elton John concert in Charlotte. So I was there last night, flew back home this morning. And even though I'm not really, you know, in my prime 70s, you know, during the 1970s concert years, I still lost my voice at the concert. So it was a great concert. Yeah. If anyone has a chance to say it, it was great. That's why I can't talk. So, and that's why I didn't see 60 Minutes. I was going, yeah, goodbye, Albert Road. No. Everyone was.
Oh, God.
But anyway, so he does the interview, and I hear it seems like it's getting terrible. Everyone hates Scott Pelley.
Oh, well, it was just, you know, he started off saying, you know, this has been such a great summer for you. You're doing great. And then he asked something. Well, you know, what, you know, if you run again, then they might bring up something about Hunter Biden. Is there any conflict there? No, there's no conflict. Okay, thank you.
That whole thing is Russia disinformation. So I was like, that's right. I forgot about that. Well, and then what about inflation? That's not a problem either, right?
It only went up 0.1% last month. I mean, come on. It's flat. It's a nice, even Scott probably said that was the highest inflation in 40 years. I know that, but it's flat and all these jobs and we're doing great.
That's right.
And quit being negative, you jerk.
That's right. Oh, and then from Jacob, Scott Pelley hated Trump for the time Pelley was an anchor at CBS News. They all hate Trump, right?
Yeah.
They all hate Trump.
Well, including Major Garrett. Major Garrett, who used to be on Fox, and you thought, well, you know, he's okay. He's written a book called The Whole Truth. How there was nothing wrong with it. They've done 60 court cases finding it's perfect.
The election.
But these Trumpers who doubt the 2020 election, it's the worst he's ever seen, the biggest threat to our democracy.
Which is fortunate since we're going to get rid of the Republican Party anyway.
So yeah, thank God.
Well, and then apparently Joe Biden said the pandemic is over. Right,
right, right. Where he divides all these powers, including the power to, he claims the power to, get rid of a student debt that he wants to get rid of.
Well, isn't that a big part of the Build Back Better plan or the whatever that's
stuff? No, he did this based on.
No, but hasn't he used it the same thing, just the COVID emergency to do all kinds of
stuff? Oh, I don't know.
Stuff,
yeah, probably.
But so if the pandemic is over, one could argue, well, you know, if the pandemic's over, why are we doing all of this? Well, and it's just so funny, the left, again, follow the science, right? So this is the president of the United States who says, and even here in Colorado, when the governor of Colorado said the pandemic's over, the president of the United States says the pandemic's over, they're like, no, it's not. It's like, they don't say, well, what are you basing that on, Joe? Can you show us? It's immediately, they just say, no, it's not. Because again, they want to continue to use it to continue to censor everybody, even though it's not working.
Well, and get that booster shot. That'd be a good idea. Everybody's lining up to get the booster shot.
Yeah, they're having to get rid of those. Well, and every day again, more, you know, what did you see? Denmark actually now bans the booster shots for people unless they're
under 50.
Under 50.
Unless they're super high risk.
The New York Times, apparently, Alex Berenson was tweeting this, had a story saying, there's an ulterior motive here, which I'll get to, saying that actually in looking at the data, perhaps Ron DeSantis and the way that they handle the whole COVID thing in Florida maybe had a point. right? And his state, at least when you look at all the data, certainly didn't do any worse, and they seem to be coming out ahead. Now, I think here again, this is the New York Times. Some of these, but they're trying to launch this feud between Trump and DeSantis, and between DeSantis supporters, right? It's not going to work, because DeSantis, I think, and Trump are probably on the same page with whatever's going to happen. And DeSantis has time to wait.
A lot of people, including Sundance from the
Conservative Treehouse.
Treehouse is saying, you know, he's a secret mole agent. I don't get that one.
No, I don't think so either. I think Ron DeSantis is, you look at his actions, right? Go back to how much fun he had talking about the immigration at Martha's Vineyard.
And he said he's going to send more planes up to Martha's Vineyard. And, you know, they're blocking off the airport and looking at night.
I know. We should make a list of Aspen would be good.
Aspen would be good.
To Aspen, somewhere in Nantucket. I like that they keep sending to Kamala Harris's house. And none of them, remember when
maybe Jackson Hole,
when Biden was first elected and Jill was going up because they were so worried about all the insurrectionists, and she had that little basket like Hansel and Gretel of chocolate chip cookies that she gave to the National Guard guys. So maybe Kamala could do that. Maybe she could make some cookies and take them on out to those poor immigrants, the illegal immigrants that are going on out there.
Just amazing stuff.
But I think though that is something, it's a tactic that worked and they're going to keep working. And again, the states, I think New York says they're looking into the Department of Justice filing some kind of criminal charges against DeSantis and Abbott.
Not Biden for doing the same letting thing. 4.5 million people into the country.
Right.
I mean, that really should be a criminal one. I mean, you're required to protect the borders, and he obviously doesn't believe that and thinks it's pretty humorous.
Well, it's funny that he can fly people around and just drop them off anywhere, but if somebody else does. But I guarantee you, though, if Merrick Garland, I mean, if they could raid Donald Trump, they could certainly come up with some kind of, arrest Ron DeSantis for kidnapping or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, because it exposes their hypocrisy and exposes how the fraud behind their arguments and their, it's like, we're humane. We need to be humane to everybody, but not in our, not even in our backyard, not even on our island. You can't come on our island,
bus you up voluntarily. They voluntarily
bust into a military base, right?
In the meantime, is a tearful farewell. We're all the wonderful Martha's Vineyard.
They gave them bottles of water or something like that.
Oh, they're so nice. And they show pictures of them dancing in the street.
To bring it back full circle, at least now we'll have the Clinton Foundation that can get involved in helping the abused illegal migrants when DeSantis busses them to. Tucker Carlson said, where would you rather go, Brownsville, Texas, or Martha's Vineyard? and I would bet if you were to go ask them, which you can't now because they're in a military base.
Yeah.
Did you guys want to come to the military base, or did you want to stay in Martha's Vineyard?
Those nice people there.
That's right.
They're trying to say
he tricked them and promised them jobs. It's like, well, no one, I don't think they promised him anything to go to the military base.
Yeah.
I think they told them they just had to go to the military base.
Hey guys, we got a trip for you to the military base.
Yeah.
And you'll have lots of fun there.
Can you just say, no, I'd like to stay here. I think if I spend some time here in Martha's Vineyard, somebody will probably donate something to me. The Obamas aren't doing anything with their 29 acres and $12 million mansion.
Well, somebody, looking back at the archives, said, hey, the White Citizens Council sent some blacks up to Massachusetts. Exactly the same.
And this is from Jacob. I bet Biden doesn't remember saying the pandemic is over.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he probably was like, what pandemic? I think the White House will have to do a little cleanup on the pandemic message. Yes.
He says
Toll House cookies. There you go. Jacob says.
He also said that, we'd fight for Taiwan.
Leo, we should hide Snickers bars around Martha's Vineyard to give them something to do. Yeah, the immigrants wanted jobs. Well, whatever they did, it's like, I'm sure the people coming across, on the one hand, they want to portray them as these, they're all here seeking asylum and, And I mean, I think a lot of them, as we know, are not. A lot of them are here.
Well, the Department of Homeland Security found out that they're emptying the prisons in Venezuela to stock up on the immigration.
Now,
like Cuba did.
We've got a couple of minutes. Johnny, is that you? Did you want to weigh in? I saw somebody pop up on the screen. If not, that's okay. I don't mean to put anybody in the show. Okay. Well, oh, here, this from Jay again. Jacob, you're on a roll today. 20 years ago, Gore said Martha's Vineyard would be underwater in 10 years. They clearly don't believe that either, or they would have let the illegal immigrants stay. Been kind of a fun, you know, so you've got them saying big tech can't censor people. You've got the special master saying, no, we're going to have our meeting tomorrow and I'm going to start looking at stuff and I'll be done by November 30th.
Yeah. And the 11th Circuit saying, well, we'll meet 2 hours earlier and then tell you to stick it. Left-wing counter, they take our national security seriously. At the 11th Circuit.
And you got to love the judge, the Florida judge who said, if this was such national security issues, it's just sitting there
for two years.
No one heard anything about it. No one even knew it was there. Nothing started leaking about what was in the documents until you got your hands on it. And now it's leaking all over the place. So she's like, don't make this national security argument to me. So
It's going to be fascinating. You know, so Tuesday at 2 o'clock, if you're the special master, you say, well, why don't you deliver the...
I'll start looking at it now.
Yeah, we'll bring it with you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. I'm losing my voice, too.
Again.
So, again.
Yay, Elton John.
On Wednesday, we're still kind of putting the show together. We'll probably obviously be talking about some of this stuff at the special master, because it is, like I said, sometimes it seems like it takes forever, but important stuff is happening there, too.
It takes forever if you want to take it forever. So all the... emergency ones and the powers of POLIS went to the courts,
right.
And they said, well, we'll give another 90 days to reply. And here, if they want to move fast, they move fast. If they want to screw you over, they'll do that.
They screw you over as well. That's right. Hey, thank you to everybody on Zoom and the great guys at BBS. Remember, you can get all of our shows and the link to whatever platform you like to listen to it on or watch it on at chuckandjulie.com. And we'll see you on Wacky Wednesday.
Wacky Wednesday.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.